Hey, welcome everybody to Two Drunk Dudes in a Gun Room, man. I have got a guest for y'all today. I got JB Brown. What's going on, JB?
Much, man. Speaking of two drunk dudes, let's toast it up right now,
Hell
right?
yeah, man.
Cheers, brother. Absolutely. I got a little Angel's Envy right here, so.
I am going with the old Maker's Mark 46 today.
So I love Maker's 46. It's actually one of my favorites, man. One of my favorites. I was up in Connecticut a few years back doing some show up there, and a buddy of mine goes, "Hey man, the master distiller of Makers is here." And boop, like, "What? Master distiller here?" And he goes, "Yeah, man, let's go meet him. He's having an after party." So we go to this bar and show up, man. The guy, and he's pretty young dude. And so I start talking to him and I'm like, "Yeah, man, love me some Makers, love me some 46." And he goes, "Oh, here." And gives me a bottle of it, right? So I'm walking around with the bottle the whole night, right? And I'm like, "Hey man, I said, I actually have a barrel down there, Makers. I did one a few years back and I could do that."
Yep, I did too.
I go, "I got a barrel there and everything, man." And blah, blah. He's like, "Yeah, come down and visit, blah, blah." And, cool. And then he goes, "What hotel are you staying at?" I give him my hotel. He goes, "What's your room number?" I give him my room number. And the next day, I walk into my room and I've got a case of 46.
Oh,
He gave me a
wow.
case of 46, man. And
Wow.
I was in heaven, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I was in heaven. I was very hungover the next day, but I was in heaven. So, yeah, I love me some 46, man. Yeah.
That Ambassador's Club's pretty cool too,
That
man.
Ambassador Club is really cool. Yeah. I don't remember what year mine comes to fruition or whatever it is, but yeah, so I'm looking forward to it, man.
I think I got somewhere around 3 more years. I think I'm only on like
Yeah, I
year
think
two.
mine's up there too. It's a while. It's a while, but when it comes to fruition, man, I can't wait.
Man, me too.
Yeah.
So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, man.
So I served right at 12 years in the Marine Corps. did some deployments under my belt. You wouldn't be talking to me today had I not gotten hurt in Iraq. I got hit with a roadside bomb. Well, I got hit with a couple of them, but I got hit with a roadside bomb, took a piece of asphalt about that big off the back of my head. Didn't even realize it till later that it happened. And that was in Fallujah in 05. And then from that point on, man, I kind of just started going downhill with the TBI, and the TBI caused the PTSD thing. And then, it just started snowballing. And I got the whole gambit of it, man, which was like the anger and, the depression and the anxiety and then the craziness too, because I would just go out and look for fights and shit, man. It's pretty bad. And I decided a couple years into it, man, I was at Walter Reed Hospital for a little bit, and being the Marine, I'm like, I don't need any help, I don't need any pills, blah blah. And finally I kind of gave into it because I looked myself in the mirror one day and I didn't like who I was, man. And I started giving into it and started doing the things I was supposed to do and everything like that, and went back out to the fleet, Marine Corps, and things just weren't popping for me, man. It just wasn't working out. I had to kind of punch out. Marine Corps was like, "Yeah, we think you're done." And so they retired me. They retired me, and my last year in the Marine Corps, went back to college because I wanted to do something in business, get my master's degree and stuff, and worked in business in DC for a little while. I was worked for the VA and did some contracting stuff, and I was miserable, man. Just miserable. And I remember the story I always tell is, I remember telling my wife, I said, "Baby, I'm good at two things. I'm good at blowing shit up, and I'm good at writing music." And she's like, "Well, you can't blow shit up anymore, at least legally." And so she goes, "I guess you better start writing music." So I started doing that, and kind of taking it slow. I was a worship musician for a little while. Still with the same mouth that I have, but I was still a worship musician, and started there, and eventually started writing for a small label. They pulled me on to write for them, started doing some writing, and then I wrote a couple songs that I didn't want to release. They were One of them was Church Pew, and the other one was Love Don't Live Here. And in Church Pew, if you've heard the song, it's like you want to talk about just breaking myself wide open and just telling people my problems, That's probably the most personal song that I've ever written.
I was listening to it today.
It's tough, man. It's a tough song. Matter of fact, we're talking here in rehearsal, and we're like, we don't play that much out when we play because it's hard for me. It's hard for me to do. And so, and then the next one was Love Don't Live Here. And actually, Love Don't Live Here was the first song that I released. Released it on my own, just kind of pushed it out there, said whatever, maybe, maybe. I wrote it about a friend of mine, another Marine who was going through a breakup. You hear the line in there, 2:30 a.m. on a Tuesday. That's because his ass called me at 2:30 a.m. on a Tuesday. I couldn't go back to bed, picked up the guitar, and I wrote that song in like 15, 20 minutes. And so released it. And within the first couple of weeks, man, it was like a million streams. And then it just started growing, started getting bigger. And then I released Church Pew and the same thing. So then I kind of had the idea. I was like, you know, maybe I should go out there and start doing this on my own a little bit. And it was gradual. It was gradual. It wasn't like I jumped right into it. I kind of took my time on it. You know, started getting out there, started playing some acoustic shows and stuff. And then I had a buddy who I played at one of the churches with, who's my current guitar player, who's going to be bouncing out here pretty soon. He's going to be leaving the band, which breaks my heart, but he's my buddy and he's my bro. And I know he's got other things he needs to take care of.
Yeah.
And he started the band with me and we kind of just started going forward and then start getting these other guys. And now we're cooking, man. So yeah, it's been a cool process. Released an album last year. It's done pretty well for us. I'm in the middle of writing another album now. I think we're booked for, gosh, what are we at? Over 100 shows this year, over 110 shows or something this year.
You all are busy.
We are. And I mean, it's my full-time job. It's what I do. I mean, I got some side hustles and stuff, but like, it's my full-time job. It's what I do for a living now. And it's tough because I had to make that decision. I had to go, well, it came to a point where I had to say, do I take this next step or do I stay where I'm at? And, you know, just kind of stay playing where I'm at and do that. Or do I take the next step? And it's kind of that leap of faith, man. You never knew. And so I did it and it's, you know, it's paying dividends, man. It's slowly, you know, I'm a typical broke musician, but it's paying dividends. So it's all good. So I still can afford some Angel's Envy. So I guess we're good.
Yeah, man. That's the good. So that stuff's a little bit hard to find too, man.
I know it is. So anytime I can find me a bottle of it, I snatch it up, man.
Yep.
So yeah.
My favorite bourbon is a cheap bottle that I can never find. It's called a Walker's Clay. And
never heard of it.
Yeah, it's in a white labeled bottle with a picture of a Marlin on it. And it says Walker's Clay.
Really?
Nothing fancy about it. Doesn't even have a cork. You know,
I'll have to look around here for you, man.
Yeah, it is. It's like $33-$34 a bottle.
Yeah.
And it's cheap, but man, it's so smooth.
Yeah. I we were just talking the other day and I don't know. I said a line that was like, cheap whiskey is better than no whiskey.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, hold on. I pull my phone out and I write that down. I go, that's going to be a line in the song right there. So, but it's true, man. I don't give a shit. Like if I have the choice between drinking a beer or some cheap whiskey, I'm going with the cheap whiskey every time.
Ask my brother. I had a bottle of raspberry bird dog. I couldn't get it down. I said, here you go, man. You can have it. He took it with him.
Right on. Right on.
Tastes like Robitussin, but there you go.
God. Oh, man, it's tough.
So, you know, you was talking about Fallujah, man.
Yep.
My last deployment, and I was in Ramadi, and we had to go to Fallujah 2-3 times a week training the Iraqis. What a shithole, you know?
What a shithole, but what a great time in my life, man.
Yeah?
What a great time in my life. Like, I look back at that time, and I'm just, like, so grateful for it. Even though I got injured or whatever, man, like, you know, and I still suffer from shit that happened there, but what a great time in my life, man. Like I tell people, man, war is easy.
Yeah, I like, say the same thing.
War is easy, dude. You ain't got to worry about bills.
Yep.
You worry about nothing. You worry about taking care of your guys.
Staying alive.
And accomplishing the mission, man. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And you know, the camaraderie between, you know, you and your guys, the platoon sergeant out there. So the camaraderie out there, man, You know, it was just unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. And I think I was searching for that after the fact. And it was tough. It was very tough for many years, man. It was very tough for me to try to navigate that part of my life. I didn't know. I didn't know that even the thrill of being in a combat zone. You know, I mean, I wrecked three Harleys in 1 year, dude. Like I was looking for that rush and I couldn't find it. And you know, people are like, well, does music give you that rush? And I said, well, it doesn't give you that rush, but it does give you a certain type of rush, which I think is for me is filled in a lot.
Yeah, I can
It's
see
filled in a
that.
lot. So you know, I'll be honest, when it comes to the music business, man, I hate the business part. I do.
I
When
believe
it
that.
comes to even the driving to the show and loading in and doing all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I'll tell you, man, when I step on a stage, everything just goes away. It
Yeah.
just goes away, man. It's worth it all at that point. You know what I mean? So.
I think a lot of I hear that from a lot of the musicians that I have interviewed. They that's the part that they love, you know. And they all say they get nervous still to the day, you know, getting out on the stage,
I
you
do.
know.
I do. I get a little nervous every now and then. I think I always have a little nerves,
Right.
and for different reasons. For different reasons, I think I have nerves because, you know, I'm thinking about the whole show aspect of it, or I'm
Yeah.
thinking, you know, is my throat going to hold up today? You know, or like a whole bunch of things. And then I get nervous just sometimes, like when I step on stage and there's 10 people there. You know, I'd rather play in front of 10,000 people than 10 people, man, because they're right
Yeah.
up in your face.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, I think I do. And I think the day I stop losing that, or you know, I lose that, is probably the day I need to sit back and go, do I really want to do this anymore? Am I enjoying myself? Because I think that's part of the deal is, you know, not feeling your feet when you walk on stage just for a little bit, you know. And when you're seasoned, and I'm not saying I'm like the most seasoned musician, but I've been around, like, you can lose track of that shit, man. You can
Yeah.
lose track of that. You can be like, you know, oh, it's just another gig or whatever. But I always try to tell myself, and the guys that I play with, man, it doesn't matter where we're playing at. Like, you never know who's going to be there. You never know who you're going to touch. You know what song you're going to play. So I try to give them every show. I try to give as much energy as I did the last show, whether I'm dog
Yeah.
tired, whether I'm not feeling good. I think that's just that is what I want to, what I, you know, kind of what I want to give back. That
Yeah.
type of thing. So, yeah.
And you know that, so that kind of that's kind of where this radio station idea I had came from, you know. I never this idea never became like a plan for us. So we started this podcast as like just like a networking, you know. We were like, it was two of us. It was me and my old first aunt, and we did like everybody else. We went to the VFW and we realized how clicky it became and realized it really wasn't about soldiers anymore. And so we left and we started this podcast, and we just wanted to come up with a way to help and start bringing camaraderie, just like you said, looking for that. And so we just brought started bringing friends on, and
The
man, it
best way to do
turned.
it, man.
Yeah, and that's
Best way to
and
do it.
you know, we started bringing people, we uniting people. We started having suckerfish trips where we'd bring soldiers in from here at Fort Leonard Wood, take them down, and there's a little association here. They brought in five or six boats, and we'd take them out all night suckerfish gigging, and man, just having a good time, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
And man, it turned into that to, you know, I had a few musicians come on, and they, you know, they. This podcast got a little bit bigger, and I started seeing how hard it is to get your voice heard, you know, and you get swallowed up in the algorithms, and people don't they don't hear you no more. And
Very true. Yeah.
so I decided to start this radio station. It was just going to be a simple, I'm just going to broadcast, and it's going to be veterans only on there, and I'm just going to advertise a little bit on Facebook, just something simple. And then it turned into the, like you said, that's when you get hit with the bullshit, and that's when copyright starts coming around,
Yep.
and I
Yep.
start, and it just became a big nightmare. And I,
It's so funny because I, you know, when we were texting earlier, you were talking about, you asked me if I was part of BMI. I said, no, I'm ASCAP. And I'm like, but I don't give a shit if you play my music. I'll play it. Play it all you want.
yeah.
But ASCAP's gonna be like, no, we're gonna protect you, which is cool. I get it. Because I want that protection in some areas, but like when it comes to something like this, when it comes to, you know, veterans or helping the cause, I'm like, you guys can have everything, man. I'm all about it. So.
And you know, the little bit I've dealt with BMI, I'm not so sure that they're out for 100% of your protection.
They're not. Neither of them
Because,
are. Neither of them are. They're a business, though. And they're a music entity, man. They're not.
they want their cut as much as they want to give
They
you
do.
your cut.
They do. And you know what sucks, man, is that, like, you know, when I first started, so I first started in the music business when I was active duty. I was active duty in the Marine Corps, and I was in the band. I grew up in California. I grew up in Southern California, grew up in LA. And so I got stationed back out there. And so I decided, well, shit, I'm gonna start a band. And I always get this question because I'm from Southern California. I grew up in LA. How do you sing country music, right? My mom is from Mississippi. So there was that big country influence to me when I was younger. And we're talking, you know, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, you know, Waylon Jennings, stuff like that. And so, and then as the 90s country started coming out with, you know, Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, Dwight Yoakam, stuff like that, I started taking it to my own. So it's funny because I grew up in the ghetto of LA, driving to school with Garth Brooks playing, you know. And what's funny is, like, all my buddies now who used to talk shit to me are all like, love country music, you know. And I'm like, I told you guys, like, you know, but I listened to everything else. I started out as a drummer. My father was a drummer, and I was a drummer in high school, played in some bands. But anyway, so I got stationed back out in California, and when that happened, I started one band, and it was kind of a rock, alternative rock, almost, I don't want to say punk band, but like, because there's no country music out there. There's nothing. And so I started that, and we got pretty popular. And then the band broke up, and then I started another band, and I went in there and I said, I'm gonna be the drummer. I said, I'm gonna be the drummer, but if we can find a drummer that's better than me, I'll sing. And so the two guys that I was playing with, they're brothers, bass player and a guitar player. Like, all right. And the very first drummer that came in just blew me away. I was like, holy shit, this guy's good. I was like, well, I guess I'm singing. And started singing in the band. You know, we wrote originals, started going well. And within the first year, we got signed. And I was active duty in the Marine Corps. You know what I mean? So I've been around the music business for quite a bit and seen it change, because that was right when the digital music age was kind of coming out. But it still wasn't there. So if you still sold units, if you were selling CDs and records and stuff, which we put an album out, we started selling, we were making money off of. Nowadays, you know, when it comes to Spotify or Apple Music and stuff, and God bless them, I love it, because anybody can reach a crowd. You don't make shit off that, man. You make nothing. You
Couple
make
cents.
maybe a couple cents, maybe, like. You know, I've got millions of streams, and people are like, oh, you must be loaded. I'm like, no, because half those streaming lines that are streaming me are free streaming services. You know how they get away with that, I don't know, but I don't care, because I already know in the back of my head, I'm not gonna make any money off of selling stuff like that. I'm just gonna put my music out there. You know, you make the money on the road, you make the money playing gigs, you make the money selling merch and stuff like that. So that's where the money's at. But you know, these licensing agencies, BMI, ASCAP and stuff, they're still a music business, man. They're still, it's like being with a record company. Last year I got, what I get offer, four deals, five, four or five deals. And each one of the deals that I got offered were just bullshit deals. And I'm not 21 years old. I'm not 19 years old, starving, trying to make a deal. And you're going to take, you know, 50% of my road revenue, you know, 60% of my what I make in merch, you know, you're gonna keep my publishing, shit like that. And I'm like, that's not gonna happen. And so finally I said, screw it, and created, you know, like my own label and my own publishing deal. And now we're able to go under that, and it's doing well for us. I mean, it's always nice to get in bed with it with a bigger record company for distribution. But on the same hand, that distribution is just for radio play, because that distribution, I could do the same thing on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever. just getting
And
out of it.
nowadays, I know like all my kids, you know, me and my wife both listen to XM, and neither one of my kids, I've offered, hey, do you want us to add you to the account? They're like, no, we use Pandora or we use Spotify. They don't care about it,
They
you
don't.
know? So I think, like you said, I think that's the future anyways.
It is, and it's adapt or die, man. It's adapt or die, and like, and I think that you know, you just got to live with the fact that you're not gonna make any money on radio. You just It's not gonna happen, and I live with the fact it's whatever. You know, I think it's cool. Like, I was in California a couple of years ago, and I was driving. I actually have this on my. It's there's a clip of it on my Instagram, and I'm driving a car. I was out there for some business, and I'm switching through channels, and one of my songs pops on. And let me tell you, that's the weirdest fucking feeling in the
I
world.
believe
It's weird, bro. It's weird. And I was like, and so I'm like, I put it on. I'm driving, you know, I'm on like the 5 freeway in California. I'm driving, and there's traffic, but I'm like trying to tape myself, and I'm like, listen, my song's on the radio, you know, and that's cool. Like, it's cool to hear your stuff out there. Another one, like out here, I was at a gas station out here. This was not too long ago, and I was getting gas, and I'm pumping gas, and it was after a show, I believe. And I'm pumping gas in my truck, and I'm like, the hell, I thought I turned my radio off. And I look in the truck, and my keys are sitting on my seat, and I was like, where's that song? That's one of my songs. And it was way back, right? It was way back. Yeah, it was way back. My song Way Back. And I was like, holy shit. Like, they're playing my song on the gas station radio. Like, how random is that? Like, and how random was it that I was there when it was happening? And how many times has that song been played over and over? And how many people have gone, wow, I kind of like that. Who is that? You know, let me whatever that app is, and you know. And so you know, it's cool, man. It's cool, you know. But by all means, I'm not I have no aspirations of selling out stadiums, bro. Like, none. None. I don't, you know, I think I had that when I was younger. But now, man, you know, getting that little niche crowd that, you know, that kind of crowd that like Sturgill Simpson has, or you know, Tyler Childers has. Like, that's what I want, that core group of people, man, that's gonna follow us around. And we're getting that. We're seeing that now.
That's good.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it's slow. Because ever since COVID, man, COVID has really screwed up the music scene. It really screwed it up, man.
I think the biggest thing for me that kind of turned me on to doing this radio thing was talking to the musicians, man. I think the music comes more from the soul, or maybe it's just me that's relating more to it because of being a veteran. But either way, something drew me to it. And that was kind of my goal, was I wanted to be, because that's all the podcast has really ever been, was a networking. It's me trying to put soldier A that's got a problem with organization B that can solve it. And
Absolutely.
I kind of thought, well, maybe, you know, this will put, you know, Festival A that's doing something for veterans with musicians that need gigs, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what the aspiration's been. And the podcast has kind of done that a couple of times. I've got
Awesome, man.
a few there's a organization in Nebraska, there's one here in Missouri that's already reached out that want me to put them in contact with a few people that's been on my podcast.
We'll go play Missouri, bro. We're ready.
All right. Well, as a matter of fact,
I've been to Fort Leonardwood, man. I know the area.
there's a guy looking for a headliner for this year. I just don't have the dates yet. So
You send me the dates, man. We'll go out there. I'm gonna tell you something. It's funny because like we play a lot of acoustic shows. I play a lot of acoustic shows with one of my partners, Dan here, that plays, and we play a lot of them, and we kick ass at the acoustic shows. And I always tell people, I'm like, you think that's good? Wait till you see the whole band. And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We are a loud country rock band. Like, we put it in your face every time. You know what I mean? And then when we do it, and people go, holy shit, you guys are like, you bring it. And we do every time. Every time, man. So I'll be able to do that.
This place is called Vet Stock, is what it was called.
Okay.
Or no, I'm sorry, Vetapalooza. And Last year was their first year of doing it. They had two bands and they had a comedian that was the host, and they were all three veterans. And man, they put on a really good show. They had a barbecue relief, which is veteran oriented, but they're more natural disaster and stuff like that. They put on a cooking show and gave veterans classes on how to barbecue, and then they cooked for the band and everybody.
Right on.
There, Budweiser came out there and sponsored. I mean, it was a really good show, man. They had a truck show. I mean, they put on a big show. So I think they're definitely going to do it again. So
And I'm not the only vet in the band. Like our bass player, he's a retired army guy too.
really?
So
Okay.
So I'm not the only vet in the, at one point we had three guys that or four guys in the band that were vets.
Okay.
And it wasn't by design that way. It just happened to be
Yeah.
that's what happened. And the other guys that are not vets in the band understand that, like, when it comes to any type of vet thing or whatever, like, I'm always going to do it, man. I'm always going to do anything that has to do with that, with any type of like suicide awareness or TBI stuff. Like, you're going to fight. If you ask me to come, I'm going to fucking be there. Like, it's going to happen.
Sure.
I'm going to do it. We're going to, the whole band's doing an event for an organization called 22 Jumps. The whole band's doing that. And we're going out to West Virginia to do that. I was out in Arizona in February. I did a show out there for them. And it was a cool organization, man. And so again, we're going to go back out there and do stuff like that. So I love being able to do that kind of stuff, man. And the guys definitely dig it as well. So, yeah.
Okay. I will definitely I will, because I was just talking to him yesterday about this, because I wanted to make sure I attended, because I was going to see if I could live stream it for him, because
Dude,
last
that'd
year
be awesome.
I wasn't set up for it last year. But there's another one in Nebraska I'm going to go up and live stream in September. So
Cool.
I was
Yeah,
going
and
to see if he,
you're hooked in with Operation Encore too as well, right?
so absolutely.
I know you had Schaefer on there.
And Shannon Book is one that's kind of been guiding me through the whole
Shannon's my
red
boy,
tape.
man.
Yeah.
That is my boy right there.
As a matter
I
of fact,
love me some Shannon Book, brother.
I'm editing his show that he did with us right now. So it'll be up
Yep,
this week.
his music video comes out here pretty soon too,
Yeah,
man. That's
man.
gonna be a great video.
Dude,
Wow.
he did that video he did with him singing to those Gold Star moms. Dude,
Yeah.
I couldn't have done it.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Shannon's great, man.
Yeah. I listen to his music going home from work on Spotify, dude. I love his
Dude, he
music.
rocks, man.
Yeah.
He rocks. Like, I love, so I talk to Shannon probably every couple of weeks. We'll text each other or whatever.
Yeah.
So me, Shannon, and Schaefer, we'll be up in Alaska together in June, I believe. We'll be up there playing some stuff together, which is cool because Schaefer and I are both country music, and Shannon's rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Shannon's been talking about it. He's like, dude, I got a great idea, bro. What if we put together a tour and we just go all around the country and just fucking rock people? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I'm down. Let's do it, man.
Yeah,
So yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He's a cool dude.
man. And so that episode I did with him,
So.
dude, just talking to him, I was like, I think we were into it for like an hour, and he's like, yeah, you might want to hit record. I was like, oh fuck yeah, we might. Dude,
Ah,
I was just so into the conversation with him, man. And
we were
I
in
totally
Georgia with
forgot.
it. So we were in Georgia together last year, him and I, and we spent a few days. Actually, he was my roommate, so we stayed in the same room together. And man, we had just wonderful. He's a corpsman too, so he's a doc. So as a Marine, like, I love Marines, but docs have a special place in my heart, bro. And so not only did he already have a special place there just because he was automatically a doc, and it was the Marine Corps birthday, the day that we hooked up, and the first thing I told him was like, happy birthday. And he's like, yeah, because he's a doc, he's a corpsman. I'm like, you're just as much a Marine as any other Marine, man. But yeah, OE, man, Operation Encore has been great. It's been great, great organization, man. They've been great to me so far, like, just amazing. I've seen them with the other artists, man. There's so many damn good artists there, man. Like, anytime I get together with those guys, I get so intimidated because they're so damn good. They are so good, man. Like, I'm like a horrible guitar player. I play guitar, but I'm horrible. Like, these guys are just like just phenomenal, man. And just great song singer songwriters and stuff. And it's cool to get together with a lot of those guys, because again, there's only a few of us country guys, but there's a lot of singer songwriters, there's rock guys. And so when we all get together with each other, it's really cool to be able to sit down and write music with these guys. And it's coming from different angles, man. You know, it's just coming from everywhere. So it's really cool. But Operation Encore has been great. What a great organization. I'm very blessed to be able to work with those guys, man. They're sending me down to Belize here in a couple of weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going down to Belize. And going to do the Belize Songwriters Festival down there. And so, like, what an opportunity, man. And, you know, it's like, it's just great. It's just great, man. And they help. The way they help veteran artists is beyond what I've ever seen any other organization do, you know, because there are a lot of veteran musicians out there. And there are a lot of good veteran musicians out there, very good veteran musicians that should be on the main stage right now. And Operation Encore is definitely making that shit happen, man.
Yeah.
Definitely making it happen. So,
you know, Guy was the main reason why this radio station went forward.
God, so, Guy, that's my boy, man. He just texted me a little bit ago.
Did he?
I love Guy.
Yeah.
Like, so Guy was out there with me in Arizona, and we spent a few days together. And man, I just love him. I just love it. And you want to talk about a badass guitar player? Dude, Guy can shred.
Really?
I didn't think, I was like, oh yeah, he's part of the organization, blah, blah, blah. Then he pulls out this Taylor guitar and starts playing. I was like, I fucking hate you, man. Like, you're so good, dude. Like, come on, man. Come on.
So
he'll write music and randomly be like, oh, tell me what you think about this. So I'm like, every song you write is great, dude. Like, it's so good.
So I reached out to him and was kind of just talking to him about advice on this radio station and what he
thought. Great guy, great organization to hook up with, man. Great organization. You're going to get some quality people that are going to be able to come on here and just give their life testimony, man. Like, and then give their music testimony, man. And I will tell you, and I think I could probably speak for most of them, most of the OE artists, music has helped save our life, man. It really has. It's helped save our life. And then you bump that up with OE helping us work this dream. You know, it's like you couldn't ask for anything, because the music business is cutthroat, man. It's cutthroat, you know?
So he said something that when the red tape, and I had to make this decision whether I wanted to start spending the money and kind of basically turn it into a business.
I already know where you're going, bro.
He said something to me that made me decide to move forward. He said that they had been looking for and reaching out to radio stations for quite a while to try to get them to dedicate an hour to just veteran musicians, and nobody would do it.
Nope.
And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I just couldn't believe it. So starting Saturday, there's a segment called Veteran Hour, brought to you by Operation Encore on our station. And it's nothing but artists that have gone through Operation Encore.
Right on. And you're going to get some good artists, bro.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dude.
You're going to get some good artists, man. Some of those guys are just amazing.
Yep.
They are.
And I'm getting the bios, and there'll be bios for the artists and everything. I'm getting all that stuff through Guy. And I'm going to just flood it with stuff about Operation Encore and try to get the word about them and their organization to even try to help get them, you know, with some supporters, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, and I will tell you, like, as far as support from the music business, there's been some really good support, even from Nashville wise. Like, you know, we did this thing down in Georgia, and there was just Hall of Fame songwriters that were there that were working with this one-on-one, man. You know, they're bringing it. They're bringing it. And I'm going to tell you, it's only a matter of time before one of the OE artists breaks. And when that happens, people are going to start realizing, you know, what's happening with Operation Encore. And then that one artist that breaks is then the next artist is going to, it's just going to be, you know, and what sucks with, you know, regular terrestrial radio or regular radio is that they don't want to dedicate that time, but they will use a veteran when it's to their need. But it's like, when it's to our need, unfortunately, they're like, oh, we don't have the time, you know, in the schedule. And it's like, come on, man. Yeah. You know, what's an hour on a Saturday or Sunday? You know, like we're not asking for primetime morning slots on a Monday or Tuesday. What's an hour on a weekend, you know, that can help elevate somebody's music so much, you know, but unfortunately they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. So
I just couldn't believe it, especially, you know, with, you know, the royalties, you know, what's actually being paid. Cause like you said, it's pennies on the dollar. It really is.
Nothing.
You know, and you're dedicating an hour. You're not losing a whole lot of advertisement space even for that time frame.
No, you know? Not at all. Not at all.
I couldn't believe it, man. And I told, you know, I told Guy today, I said, man, if you want more, I don't have nothing scheduled from 7 to midnight. I stopped playing music at midnight because there's the amount of audience versus what I'm paying for royalties and everything else at that point.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people there. So, you know, from 7 to midnight, man, we can make that. They're all veterans, you know, veteran from Encore, you know.
Have you listened to the Operation Encore Spotify playlist?
That's as a matter of fact, that's what he's been giving me. That's what he's been sending me, the links.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, like, it's funny because I'll listen to the playlist and I'll hear my music and I'll skip it. And I'm like, I don't hear that. I'll hear the next one. You know what I mean? And it's cool because I know all these guys and I'm like, man, these guys are just like, it's just great music.
Yeah.
It's just great fucking music, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, you know, with, I guess, you know, I'm a country artist, but I don't know what I'm considered in country because, you know, you have country, then you have your subgenre. And I guess, like, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm quite outlaw country. I don't think I'm outlaw. I'm a little bit country rock, maybe southern kind of rock because there's a rock element to it. You know, and so, so yeah, I don't know where I'm at with that. All I know is I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, man. Be you.
That's it, man. And if people dig it, they dig it. And if they don't, well, whatever. You know, I may not be the flavor for everybody. And it's damn true. I love, let me tell you something. This is so funny. I love when I get negative comments on shit, like on social media.
Yeah.
Like people tell me, don't read the comments. I'm like, no, I want to read the comments. Because the negative stuff doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you took the time to listen to my music to tell me that I suck. So you took the time to listen to it. So that's so cool.
I laugh, you know, the algorithms doesn't really dictate arguments. No. It dictates the amount of comments. So just keep commenting.
Comment. I don't care. You know, whatever, man.
You'll just keep me up there in the feed. I appreciate it.
That's it, man. You know, we started this year really, really trying to work our Spotify channel. I just got verified this year on Spotify. And so got that cool little blue check mark. Cool. Now I'm like trying to push people to that Spotify channel because we never really pushed it.
Yeah.
And I never really realized what a big asset that was to push that Spotify channel. I didn't know. Yeah. And so now, you know, we're pushing that, you know, like we'll play shows and I'll be like, oh, by the way, I'm verified. I got my own channel. Like I make fun of it because I think it's funny. The funniest thing was when I got verified, right? Cause it's cool. Like you get verified. You're like, that's fucking cool. I got verified. Right. I'm at the house. Right. I'm sitting in my chair and my kids are there and I got 4 kids and the wife's there. And I'm like, oh guys, check it out. I got verified on Spotify. And they all look at me. They're like, so anyway, blah, blah, blah. They didn't shit, dude. They didn't care. They're like, whatever. And my wife's like, yeah, okay. You got to go do the lawn now. Like, you know, so it's cool, man. Cause no, like I will tell you between my family and my friends, no matter what, whether I make it in this business or not, they'll always keep me grounded, bro.
Yeah.
And I think I keep myself grounded. I don't think I don't think, I mean, you guys, am I bougie? I'm not bougie, right? Like, no, fuck you guys. Don't tell me. I'm not bougie, right? Like, no. Like,
are drinking.
It's like an hour before the show, I go off on my own. I go do my vocal warm-ups because I have to do that. You know what I mean? Like I get dressed. That's the extent of it. Like I'm not like, you know,
I mean, but you're drinking the hard liquor to find. I mean,
the first wardrobe change. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I my first black shirt. Cause that's all I fucking ever wear is black. So I wear black for two reasons. One, because I'm fat and it keeps me looking skinny. And two, because I love Johnny Cash. So, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's cool, man. I've got family, friends and stuff that will always keep me grounded. And I don't think I'll ever not be a type of grounded person. Like I said, you know, I got asked, I was doing an interview, this past year, and somebody asked me, like I said earlier, like, so where do you see your future? What do you want your future to be in the music business? How big do you want to be? And I was like, I don't want to be like a Luke Bryan or Garth Brooks, or I have no desire to be that big, man. Like at all. You know, I want to go on and play, you know, a 5,000 seat, 4,000 seat, you know, venue and just rock the shit out of that place and play for three nights in a row. You know what I mean? Doing a stadium of 100,000 people. That's cool. And again, I'm not going to be like, no, I don't want to do it, but that's not a desire of mine. It's not a desire of mine. So
I think, like you said earlier, though, you know, how you said you didn't really care about the business side of it, that was kind of a dislike. And I think when you get to that level, I think it becomes all business.
It does. It does. You know? And I know people, I know some people at that level already, you know, maybe not Garth Brooks level, but I know people at that level already that are big business. And to stay grounded in that level, it's got to be hard, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Got to be hard because everybody's kissing your ass, dude.
Yep.
You know, and that's the last thing I want is for somebody to kiss my ass. Like, I don't need that. You know, I don't need that. Like, I need guys in the band to tell me, you know, that doesn't sound good. Or a couple weeks ago, we were here in the studio and I'm arguing with my guitar player about a fucking chord that I keep playing. Turns out I've been playing it wrong for the last year and a half. I've been hitting the wrong chord the whole time. He goes, don't worry, nobody's listening to you anyways. I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like, you know what I mean? But I love that. I love and I always tell the guys, you know, like, you know, my name may be on the banner, but this is our band. It's not my band. It's not me, man. It's our band. Like, you know, if I'm the step that it needs for all of us to get there, I just want to take all my boys and, you know, the guys in my band and just go out there and fucking rock it, man. And be able to do this for a living to where it's sustainable. You know what I mean? To where we don't have to worry about anything. I don't need to be a millionaire, man, but pay the bills, play music for a living. I'm good with that. I'm good with it, man. So.
No, absolutely, man. I agree. And, you know, that's, like I said, you know, this show will never be Joe Rogan. And if it passes on and helps a few vets, then it's a win. That's all I care about, man.
That's what I always said. I go, you know how I know I'll make it is when I get to go sit on Joe Rogan. Because I love Joe Rogan. I listen to Joe Rogan all the time.
I do too.
I'm like, that's when I know I made it, when I'm fucking sitting in Austin on Joe Rogan's show, you know, drinking some whiskey with him. So.
Well, you remember when I said I like to help vets get to, I can't help.
Yeah. I know. I'm on my own for that one, right?
Yeah, I can't help you get to.
But Joe Rogan. Man. No, I'm glad, man. Like, and the cool thing was, is when you hit me up, like I've actually listened to your show before. Cause I listen. Really? Yeah. So believe it or not. So when I'm driving in the car, I don't listen to music barely at all. I would say 5% of my driving time is spent on music. The rest of it is either podcasts or books.
Okay.
I think because I'm so inundated with music all the time, mm-hmm. I think I need to take a step away from it a little bit. And it helps me even as a writer sometimes, because I'll hear a story or hear something and I'll jot it down and I'll go back to, you know, when I'm writing music, I'll go back to it and it helps me develop something, you know, because not every song that I write is about a personal experience. I got a song on the album called Whiskey and Patron, right? Two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on a flight to LA, right? And I'm watching this movie. And Justin Timberlake was in it. I forgot the name of the movie, but he was in this movie and I'm watching this movie and it's got this girl in there and she's just a fucking hot mess and a drunk and everything. And I paused the movie and I was like, I had an idea and I just start jotting some stuff down. And literally by the end of the flight, I had the song Whiskey and Patron, right? And it was about nothing. Like, it was about this movie that I saw. And somebody asked, like, I get asked a lot, like, what are your songs about and stuff? And I'm like, that song was really about nothing, you know? Country Boys and Girls. It's like, I have a song, Country Boys and Girls. It's about a bunch of fucking country boys and girls just getting it, you know, like having fun in the mud, you know,
yeah,
throwing some dip in, like, you know, that kind of thing. So, not everything is about that. And so, but I think that makes you a good writer as well, is you're able to pull from your personal experience and then also be able to pull for something else and go, I'm going to write about this, you know? And I have times, man, where I'm spitting music out, dude, spitting it out, like one song after another. And then I have times where I'm like, I can't write. Why am I doing this? I'm horrible at this. I can't write a damn song. Everything sounds the same, like blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
My band makes fun of me because my favorite chord is E minor because I love playing E minor. Like, you know, I just, it's one thing after another. That's the cool thing about being a songwriter is that you just never know when it's going to hit you. But when it does hit you and you get that wave, you better ride that wave, buddy. Ride that wave and keep writing until you cannot write anymore. Yeah. You know, my wife knows about it. Like, we'll be in the car and we'll be talking or whatever. And mid-conversation, I'll be like, open up your notes on your phone. And she'll be like, what? I want to write this down. She'll write it down. I'll be like, all right, send it to me. And she'll send it to me. I'll be like, okay, anyway, what were you saying now? And she knows now. She's like, oh, he's coming up with another song. Like, he's coming up with a lyric. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's cool. It's cool to be able to do that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I agree, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how, you know, the art side of this comes out. So I have to ask, because I was listening to this song earlier, how did the song Ocean come about?
So Oceans. Okay. So again, I did worship music, and I played. So that song is, when you play it regularly for a female artist, it's capoed. You know what a capo is? A guitar. You know what a capo is on a guitar? Yeah. It's a little thing you put.
Okay, I know. So
it's capoed, but it's, you know, E minor, G, whatever. And so one day I'm playing it on guitar, and I didn't capo it, and it was down low, and it sounded like, I like my music to sound kind of dark a lot. Like, I like that dark sound. This was why I like an E minor. And so I started playing it and I started singing it, but I started singing it my way. And a buddy of mine was listening to me. He goes, dude, he goes, that is like, he goes, I like that better than the original version. And I'm like, stop, you know, like, stop. And so I developed it, started playing it. The label that I was writing for was primarily a Christian label. So I was writing a lot of Christian music. And if you go on like Apple Music, you'll see where I'm featured in a lot of different worship and Christian, adult contemporary Christian stuff like that. And I still do it. I was in the studio a couple of weeks ago recording for a friend of mine who writes straight up worship rock music. And I was in there recording the vocals for him. Because I still dig that side, you know, I still have that connection with the worship music and the God thing and everything, you know? And so anyway, so I start doing this, and, I was like, I want to release this. And so, so the guy at the label was like, well, let's get a hold of Hillsong Worship and see if they'll let you release it. And they're in Australia. And so got a hold of them, and they're like, absolutely. Like, you got some big balls to be able to do that one. Cause that's like, nobody does that song. Like, nobody covers that. And so I covered it, I sent them an acoustic version of it, and they're like, yep, do it. And so literally was in the studio the next day and did it. And released it. And it was like, it's got that rock country type of feel to it. And that's what I wanted with it, man. I was like, you know, cause I've always loved that song. And so when we put it out, I was like, it's one of those products where I'm like, yeah, I'm proud of that one.
I liked it. I liked it, man.
And so again, I'm a drummer, right? And so I recorded drums on that. So even on the album, the whole album, I'm leaking out some stuff that I probably shouldn't leak out, but it's all right. Fuck it. other than one song, which is Another Beer, which Dan right here, who's next to me, recorded drums. I recorded all the drums on the whole album. Even though I had a drummer, unfortunately, he couldn't come to the studio. He's like, he couldn't make it. And I was like, I got you, bro. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm so like, so anal when it comes to drums, because I'm a drummer. Yeah. Like when we recorded the song Whiskey Ain't Working, he recorded it. That poor guy, I thought he was going to leave the band because I was like, nope, do it over. Well, what do you mean? Nope, do it over. It doesn't sound good. You're doing a ghost note here and you're skipping here and you're not on time here and blah, blah. And the poor guy's like, dude, like, you know, and so, you know, and now, you know, that drummer ended up leaving. He's still a friend of mine, ended up leaving the band because he just had life happen. And we got a new drummer now, which is, this is actually his studio. It's where we rehearse at. And I'm like, well, I'm probably never going to record drums on a track again because this guy we have now is stupid. Like ridiculously good. So but yeah, but anyway, going back to Oceans, yeah. So that was kind of the gist behind that. I just wanted to release it. I thought it'd be cool. I thought it was a different version of it. Yeah. It's a little bit darker, a little bit rockier, but still pervade the same message. So that was, you know, that thing. So yeah,
man, I really liked it, brother.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Yeah, you know, it's have we ever played that no. live? I don't think we ever have.
No.
Huh. Wait, wait.
Which one?
We played it one time. We played it one time at that place, the very first brewery we ever played, Unionville. I think we played it live one time ever.
Wow.
You know, but I do get people coming up and asking me that or Never Be Shaken. Did you hear that song?
I haven't heard that
one. So Never Be Shaken is another kind of it's a worship song. And people are like, play Never Be Shaken. And these dudes are like drunk, like, you know, I'm like, you love Jesus. That's great. You know, like, so yeah, you know, but yeah, you know, it's, I think there's always a God aspect in my song.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I battle with God still. I do. I battle with God still. I battle with God, for the things that I've been through. You know, yeah. And just in military and stuff. And I believe, but there's still that friction there a little bit, you know? Yep. And I remember a time when there wasn't that friction and the freedom I had in my soul and stuff was amazing. And I want to go back to that, but there's so much stuff that I'm battling with it that, my wife and I just had a conversation about this last night, that there's a lot of things that I need to work through with it. Yeah. You know, a lot of things. So
I can relate. I know exactly where you're getting at. Yep.
Yeah. And then working as a worship musician in the church, they have this saying where it's like the curtain's been pulled back and you see the other side of the church business. You know what I mean? And it turned me off a lot, man. Like, yeah. You know, I wholeheartedly believe that when somebody goes to church and worships, it should be about, you know, them and God, and it should be about, you know, what they're feeling and stuff like that. It shouldn't be about, you know, what the pastor's wearing or what the worship pastor's wearing or, you know, how much money have you donated this year? You know, and then I look at it and I've been to churches where, like, you know, they're asking for tithing, but yet the pastor's living in $1 million home. And I'm like, dude, that's not kosher with me. Yep. So that's another reason I battle within, you know, my belief, you know, and I hate saying that, but there's still that heart for God somewhere there. It's still there.
My belief is that the conversation only needs to be between you and God.
And amen.
That's, you know, you don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be, you know, the conversation is between you and him. And you can seek guidance through the Bible. You can seek it through other people. But at the end of the day, the conversation needs to be between you and him.
So I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
I grew up Catholic. My wife and I got married in the Catholic church. And, you know, we did our whole premarital thing before we got married with a priest. And I had a great priest, man. The guy was awesome. He was actually he was a chaplain for the Filipino Marine Corps. So he was all about it. I was a Marine. I was still active duty. I was a young Marine. I was a Lance Corporal, E3. And he was a young guy. And like, so he loved the fact that I was a Marine. And I remember sitting in there and we were doing, it was just one-on-one sessions. And I remember asking him, I said, I need to ask you a question. I said, why is it that I have to go through you to speak to God? Can't I just have a main line? And he looked at me and he goes, you know, you're right. And I was all, okay. Like, I can't believe a priest told me that, you know, because you know, you're right. I go, I feel like there's been something lost in the mix when it came to man creating these rules where it's like, you have to go to confession and maybe you need to go to confession to get guidance, but not to speak to God. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's no way.
Yep.
And so that always stayed in the back of my mind. And then 2009, man, I was saved. I was actually saved. And that's, 2005 is when I got injured. I went through all that stuff. 2009, I came to Christ. And like, in those from 2009 to 2010, 11, 12, like, man, I was just on fire for it. And then I don't want to say it was a mistake, because it wasn't a mistake, but I went into the business of working at a church and being a worship director, worship pastor, worship thing. And when I saw that curtain pulled back and the business side of it, it ruined me, dude.
Yeah.
Ruined me. And now I go to church and I go every week. It's not like I still go to church.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's with a grain of salt, man. And I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Me and my wife have tried several different churches as well. And, you know, we went to one church. We was there for, man, I don't know how many weeks before we realized it was a Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
And then just one day they flipped out and I was like, what in the hell is going on here, man? And then they had
started running up and down the aisles and
they had all the kids come forward and man, they started choking them out and they were like, you know, and next thing you know, kids are passing out and shit, man. I grabbed my kids and left. I said, man, I learned that shit when I went through selection. I don't need that shit.
It's crazy, dude. My wife and I have that discussion now about, you know, like it's so hard to find, you're never going to find a perfect church. I don't want to find a perfect church because I'm so far from perfect, but I do want to find a church that's honest, man.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the one we're going to now is working that way. It's a little old school Baptist. Now we went back to a smaller church and
I think that's the key.
I think it is, man. I think it is the community. Cause you know, I live in a pretty small rural community in Virginia. I think that is the key. I think the key is that, and you know, my kids go to school at that church. Cause there's a school there. They play sports there. Like, and so I'm seeing good things, but now I need to start developing that relationship again, because it's important to me, man. You know, and look, I'm always going to be a whiskey drinking, you know, Copenhagen dipping fucking Marine. It's I'm always going to be that way. That's who I am.
Yeah.
You know? And I've realized that if God's going to love me, he's going to love me for that no matter what. You know what I mean? I'm always going to be the guy on stage that's going to be, you know, dropping an F-bomb here and there or whatever. You know, not at church, but on my regular stage, you know.
Hey, somebody's got to guard the gate, man.
I know, man. You know what? It's like, you know, I I've seen places that are like, come as you are. We're going to accept you for who you are. Then they find out who you are. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And they're like, I'm like, nah, I'm a little too wild for you, aren't I? You know what I mean? But you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, yeah, God willing, I'm able to get back into that spiritual space, man, because it's important to me. It is important.
So. Yeah, me too, man. I think we've lost that in America as well. So
I think we have. I think these past few years have been horrendous, dude. Yeah. Horrendous. And I don't get political on stage. I never do.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, if people want to get political on stage, it's great. You know, year and a half ago, I took the band to go see, all of us went to go see Aaron Lewis, right? You want to talk about getting political on stage? Aaron Lewis gets political on stage. It's fine. That's great. That's him.
Yeah.
I don't get that way, but I will always do a toast. Every show I do a toast, and you know, I'll hold my drink up and I'll tell him, you know, God bless country music. God bless a Saturday night. And most importantly, God bless the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I always do that. And I make it well known that, hey, I'm an American.
Yep.
I believe in my God, you know, and that's who I am. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass and leave the venue, because that's who I am.
I'm
not going to sit there and go, I think only one time. I think one time I did the Let's Go Brandon. And it was by mistake, dude. It wasn't like I was just like messing around. There was a big crowd, and the whole crowd started chanting it, and I'm like, oh God, this is not going to be good. The whole crowd started chanting, Let's Go Brandon. But you know, I think this country's gone to shit these past years, man. It's been so divided. Look, I'm a middle of the road type of guy.
Me too.
You know, register wise, I'm a Republican. That means nothing, because there are a lot of Democratic views that I see that are great. Okay. I'm a middle of the road guy. All right. But one thing is for certain, always for certain, is that I back America.
Yep.
What's best for our interest. I always back that. I will back that 100%, you know, and all this bullshit with us, you know, throwing money to Ukraine and all this other stuff, you know, that's great. But we've got vets and kids sleeping on the street, man.
Yeah.
Right here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yep.
You know, right where you're at, we have vets and we have kids and families sleeping on the street. Why the hell aren't we paying attention to them first?
33,000 homeless veterans in America.
Crazy. It's crazy, man.
You know? There's three of us podcasters. I made it known that this year I was going to do a fundraiser to raise jackets, blankets, that type of stuff. And I was going to pass them out to homeless veterans. And another podcaster said, well, why don't we make it a competition? He said, we'll see which podcast can get the most jackets. I said, well, man, that's a great idea. We can each pass them out to our local area. He said, we'll call it the Jacket Off. I said, oh, yeah, that's what's happening.
Dude, that is it, bro. That's it. I need that shirt.
Yep. That's what we're doing. So starting in, we're going to do it from August to October. So whoever, cool. I'm going to buy a trophy. So the podcaster, whoever gets the most between the three of us.
Dude, so you make sure you tell me, and I'll put it on all my social media and put it on my website as well, to where people can donate and send it to you guys, man.
Absolutely, man.
You know, I'm all about that kind of stuff, dude. I really am. I love being able to help out anywhere I can. So.
Yeah, and so one of them's the Contagion Effect. I don't know if you've heard of their show or not, but they're out there in California, man. And there is, I think the last count was like 17,000 of the 33,000 homeless veterans is in California.
It's crazy. You know? I mean, if you're gonna be homeless, I guess that's a place to be. But still, like, you know, that's just so shitty. Like, why aren't we taking care of those guys?
Because the problem goes way beyond that, and the government doesn't want to take on that financial responsibility. Yeah. That's really what it comes down to.
But they could send us all off to war.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Easy. Yep. Send them all off. Yeah, you know. I will say that that VA wise, you know, I've had a pretty positive experience with the VA.
I think it's hit or miss. Me too.
I think I've only had one negative, real negative experience with them. But for the most part, the years that I've been involved with the VA, I've seen them do some pretty good things for guys. Now, granted, I also understand that they're limited too. Like, you know, you can only go so far. You know, I always said, like, my dream is, if I was to ever make it big in the music business, is to support veterans. That's going to be my main cause, man. Support veterans, homeless veterans, veterans that are going through shit, man, just support them because I've been there. I'm there. I get it. Yep. You know, I'm one fucking step away from being a homeless veteran. Like, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I would want somebody there, you know, to help me with that shit, you know? And not only that, like, you never know what a $5 bill is going to, what difference that's going to make to somebody's life that day.
You're right.
You know what I mean? It's like, and if I could do that, you know, and I'm just staying a $5 bill, but if I could do that in a bigger way, like, I want to be able to do that, man, because there's been times where I'm like, man, I wish I had 20 bucks right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wish somebody would come and say, be my savior for the day. You know, I wish somebody would, you know, do this and that. And I'm sure there's veterans out there, homeless veterans that are like, man, I wish I had a jacket right now. I wish I had, you know, a warm place to stay or a warm meal, you know?
So I'm going to tell you what made me think of that. So when I got out of the military, I started a trucking company because I couldn't find a job, and I really shouldn't have started a company because I wasn't in the right state of mind. But that's what I did. And I did that for about 6 years. And then my mom's health kind of took a shit, and I had to make a decision as the economy was also going to shit. I either could keep running myself into bankruptcy or I could close the business and try to help my mom. So I closed the business and I moved myself to Missouri. My wife and kids and everybody are still in Georgia. And I remember like running to my car the first winter here in Missouri. And I was like, fuck, it's cold. And then I got in the car and I was thinking, fuck, man, what are these homeless veterans doing? Because the heater's now kicking and I'm starting to warm up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what made me think about it, man. I was like, man, because I mean, in Georgia, it's pretty fucking warm year round.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it never really made me think of it in that aspect, but it sure as hell made it think about it when it was 10 degrees out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. So, and a jacket or a sweatshirt or
blankets,
a pair of socks can make a big difference, dude.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't solve all the problems. I can't house them. I can't fix the mental crisis. I can't do all that, but maybe I can make them warm for a few days.
You know? That's it, man. That's it. Me and the guys will be here to help you, bro. We'll do it, man.
I appreciate
we'll push it out, bro.
So, let's tell everybody where you guys are going to be playing at, man.
Oh, geez, dude. We're all over the place, man. You can go on to our website, and it's got a link there for our calendar. It's got a link there for our calendar where we're playing at. We're all over the place. We're, you know, regionally, we're all over Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, too, I think. Yeah. Where else? Again, I'll be out in Belize the 17th of this month, playing out there. We'll be up in Alaska in June. We're all over the place, you know. You can catch us on Facebook too. We do a lot of Facebook Live, a lot of TikTok Live stuff too. So. Okay. You can get on there.
Bridgefest, maybe one
time. Yeah, Bridgefest. We're doing Bridgefest for 22 jumps out in what date is that, guys? Do you know?
October 21st,
I believe. And that's for, it's a big festival. It's Bridge Day Festival. It's for the guys. They're gonna do it's a 22 jumps organization. They're gonna do base jumps off the big bridge there in Fayetteville, West Virginia. And we're gonna play the night before. We're gonna go up there and just rock the shit out of those people. Yeah. And so that's another thing, you know, people come out and hang out with us there anywhere, man. Like, and again, I always say this, and it's crazy because we got a lot of places, and I like trying to be personable with them as much as possible. And I'm like, when you coming out to Missouri? And I'm like, fucking book us, dude. Book us. We'll come out there and play. You book us, we'll play there. I promise you. And I promise you, if we come out there and play, you will not regret booking us. That's for damn sure.
Because I'm gonna work on that.
We're gonna have one hell of a time, man.
I'm gonna work on that.
But yeah, you know, so all our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram,
YouTube,
it's all JB Brown Official. You can look at there. I think the only one that's different is TikTok, JB Brown _ Official. But yeah, you can link up with us on there and stuff. And Spotify is a big thing, man. I ask people to go on there and follow us on Spotify, be a listener on Spotify, follow us on there. Not because it's making us any money, but because it's getting us even more out there, you know, even more out there. And it's just pushing our plays out. And that's what we're looking for, you know, because we are still a bunch of broke musicians, but we love what we do. So.
Absolutely, man. And I will make sure that I share everything. I will have everything in the description of the podcast. Right on. I will share it all through my Facebook. And as soon as I can come to terms with ASCAP, y'all's music will be all over the radio.
Right on, station. Man. Right on. Yeah. And I'll make sure we get you linked on our website and all that stuff too, man. So that way, you know, I've got like, you ever heard of Oscar Mike Clothing?
I have not.
So Oscar Mike, it's a buddy of mine that I was stationed with. They're a big clothing company now. So I have them locked in on there. So any type of veteran company or organization or whatever, I try to put on the website. I mean, we drive pretty good traffic on there. So I try to just, you know, I put it in our link section and stuff like that. And, you know, like you said, it's one big community.
Yep.
And we're all just trying to support each other, man.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
That is it, brother.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's been a pleasure and I love having y'all on.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Y'all's music is awesome, dude.
Thank you.
So, and I am going to get y'all booked. And we're gonna have a beer together, or some bourbon or something.
Let's do it. Let's get to Missouri, man, and get it on, buddy.
All right, brother.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. So I appreciate you so much.
All right, man. Take care.
Peace.
Later.